I am on. Okay. John writes, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together unto battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, tonight for these words, this chapter, Lord, in your book. And this is the eternal word of God, and we know it tonight, and we exalt you for allowing us to be able to not only hold it and read it, but understand it. And Lord, there's so much that we do not understand, but we ask that you open our understanding. And so, Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being here in this little place in the country that we love. And Lord, we just praise you today for the soul that was saved this morning in Bloomingdale. And Lord, we just thank you for that little congregation up there that's growing, and we just praise you for them. Thank you again, Lord, for Christ, the shed blood and the salvation and the cross and the resurrection and the promise of your return. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we looked at this portion of scripture then, as we studied it a little bit, I guess maybe I want to ask some questions here. Over and over, we see the term 1,000 years is mentioned, and we see that. So the question is, who are the people on earth during this 1,000-year reign of Christ? Who are these people that are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay.
In the Old Testament, there was a two-chamber holding the bosom of Abraham and Sheol, and didn't Christ empty the one side?
Okay. He said when he died, he led captivity. Captive and gave gifts unto men. Supposedly, Bible scholars say that those individuals are those that were in Abraham's bosom side, where we find there in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus being in Abraham's bosom, those individuals were delivered up. Who else is going to rule and reign with Christ during this 1,000 years here on earth?
Tribulation saints.
Those who have lived through the tribulation period, okay? There are those individuals that have survived the Antichrist and didn't take the mark of the beast and all of that. So they're going to live here on earth, rule and reign. Okay, let me just go down through here and give you some of the individuals. I think there's five different groups of individuals that are going to rule and reign with Christ during that 1,000-year period. First of all, Jewish believers who survived the Great Tribulation, the Jews that survived the Great Tribulation. Okay, they're going to be there. All right. Zechariah 13, verse number 8, if you just want to write that down, Zechariah 13, 8 gives us that idea that those Jewish believers who survived the Great Tribulation are going to rule and reign with Christ. Okay? The second group, go ahead, Jim.
They call them Messianic Jews. They are not going to be part of the church, are they?
In my opinion, no. Okay? I believe they're going to be part of his kingdom. The kingdom.
He speaks to the Jew in the kingdom.
Yes, yes. You don't. When Jesus spoke here on earth to his people, they always ask him about the kingdom, and he always mentioned the kingdom. The kingdom. He's setting up his kingdom, and the Jewish people are going to be the kingdom individuals that are going to be here. The second group is the Gentile believers who survived the Great Tribulation. Specifically, these individuals are those that helped the Jews survive during the Great Tribulation, because who is the primary focus of the beast, the Antichrist, during the Tribulation? It's going to be the Jew, okay? It's the time, the scripture calls the time of Jacob's trouble. And therefore, the beast, the Antichrist, is going to seek those Jews out. Well, there's going to be some Gentile individuals, believers, obviously, all of these are believers, okay, that help the Jews survive during the Great Tribulation. You can find that in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 3, okay? The third group are babies. Who are born during the Great Tribulation or after the Great Tribulation during the millennium itself, both Jews and Gentiles. So these individuals are going to grow up and be there during the millennium. Okay? And I think that makes a lot of sense when we get to thinking about that. Okay? The fourth group are Jewish believers who've been resurrected to inherit the kingdom. And I think that goes back to what Jim said. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, gives us that reference there. Excuse me?
What was that?
Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Am I going too fast, Elva? Who have been resurrected to inherit this kingdom age, that millennium, during the millennium, the kingdom. They're Jews, okay? And then the fifth group are believers, saints, who have come back with the Lord Jesus
at his second coming. We're going to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years, okay? We're going to rule and reign with him 1,000 years. And so we see this then, all right? Okay.
Nowhere do I ever see where God mixes the Jews with the church. So they're going to come back and they're going to be in the, there's going to be a temple there and everything. But we're not going to be associated with that. We're going to be in New Jerusalem, right?
Not yet.
Well, I know.
The New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven. After the millennium. Mm-hmm. We're going to find that after
the millennium. The saints you're talking about will actually rule.
Keep in mind that the Jew is going to come back to their land in the Abrahamic covenant. Okay? They're coming back to their land going from the Nile River clear to the Euphrates. That whole area of land is going to be Jewish land. It's going to be God's promised land.
Can you read
number four? Let me go back here. Jewish believers who have been resurrected to inherit the kingdom, which was probably, like Jim mentioned, those Old Testament saints that were probably in Abraham's bosom.
What was the scripture reference for number five?
Revelation 20, verse 4. The scripture for number three is Matthew 24, verse 19. Okay. Now, if you take your lesson, and as Debbie said, we have verses 7, 8, 9, 10. That's about where we are, huh, Debbie? Okay. Notice, now I'm just going to throw this out here. When we get to 7, 8, 9, and 10, I'll just throw it out. I don't know the answers to the questions, okay? I don't know. And neither does anyone else. But here, we'll go through them and we'll ask them. But it's just supposition, okay? And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, okay? The prison being the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is not hell. The bottomless pit is not hell. As we know that an angel comes, he grabs Satan, he binds him up with a chain, throws him in the bottomless pit and locks it for 1,000 years. And that's the millennium. And so when we look here, when the 1,000 years are expired or completed, then Satan is loosed out of that bottomless pit. Now the question comes, why? Why? Or, what's the reason for this? Well, again, I don't know. It looks like it'd be the same question or the same reasoning. Why does God let him do what he does now? It's just that, because he's God and he has a marvelous plan and he's working the plan, and it's right along as he has the plan and it's being worked out. And so notice that there's an end, though, to the millennium. It's going to come to an end, that 1,000 years. The nations have grown. There's been a time of peace. There's been a time of birth. There's been a time of righteous living. There's been a time of that. Eric, did you have your hand up a while ago? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you did. And so we see this, but he's loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And so we see this mass multitude of people in the world that now have been deceived by Satan, okay? Been deceived by Satan. Much like today, the only difference is we're on this day and age of God's grace when we have after the millennium, there is going to be a time of, let me just put it this way, those that are have been deceived, is there going to be a time of grace as there is in this day and age? And I can say, I don't know. I don't know how that is going to work. It doesn't say that there are going to be those during that time that get saved. Scripture doesn't say that. But we have to kind of maybe realize if the world is covered with a population of the like the sand of the sea, and Satan has deceived them to come against God himself in Jerusalem, it must be conceivable that certainly not everyone is going to believe him. Okay, not everyone will believe him, but there are millions that are going to be deceived again. Why? Because they have that old Adamic nature. And so when we see this verse here, and he goes out to deceive the nations, and he brings them all together, and they surround what? They surround the nation of God. They surround the kingdom, they surround the capital, which is Jerusalem. And so then they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Who are the saints? Well, we're the saints, aren't we? We're always called the saints. And so we came back on white horses, chapter 19, we came back on white horses as part of the army of God, okay? Now, it doesn't say anything about us ever getting involved in the battle. We don't have to, because why? God does it all. God does it all. You know, and it's interesting today. We don't fight today either, do we? We're soldiers. But the victory is already won. The only battle we have is in our own lives. Yeah.
Do you think the Lord knew that some of these people that were saved during the... I mean, he knows everything. So do you think that's why he brought Satan back? To make sure...
I have to go to this little verse in Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Every individual has to give an account of their life, either to the Lord, or they have to take it to themselves. And the deception of Satan, everyone has to make a decision. And I guess in my mind, that is the reason for the deception of the millions of people. Again. Now, here's another thought that, you know, it kind of blows your mind. How long is a little season. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know how long a season is to God. And so if he is let go to deceive the nations, how long would it take to deceive nations in the world? It would maybe take a while.
Well, think about we've only been here for what, 200 and some years? I mean, really, our country? You think about 1,000 years? You know, that's so much longer than we can even imagine. You know, because our country's not even, 300 years old. So when you think about, are they teaching in school and stuff? Is history going to repeat itself? I mean, they're not teaching about Armageddon in school, or people wouldn't be deceived. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's going to be 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. That's a long time for people to get away from God again.
Mm-hmm. Which brings up a good point. Do they have this during the millennium?
What? Oh, the word.
My answer is absolutely.
That's what I said, because it's forever.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
No,
okay.
I can see it happen.
And so we see that. So I'm just throwing out this.
300, 200 years.
Right? And so they compassed the beloved city, and fire came down out of God, out of heaven, and devours them. Okay? So we see this. We see this. What is this called? When the fire comes down out of heaven and devours them all.
Judgment.
Okay. Okay, judgment. It's divine judgment, that's for sure. All right. So, yeah, go ahead, Jim.
I don't want to question God's plan, because his plan is perfect. This has always bothered me. In the original Garden of Eden, there was no sin until Adam and Eve sinned. And if they had not sinned,
I'll repeat myself. I don't know, except that, from eternity past, he had a plan before he ever formed everything.
Everyone that comes to him, he wants them to come by choice.
Exactly, by choice, yeah. Yeah. So now let's talk a little bit here about how many judgments are there, all right? We're going to come into this great white throne judgment as we look at it here as we come. It says, and the devil that deceived them, verse 10, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. Okay, we find them being tormented back there in chapter 19. All right, and so we see this. I just want to go to some judgments that the Scripture brings out in the Scriptures that we need to talk about. The judgment of a believer's sin based on the cross work of Jesus Christ, where sin is judged on the cross of Christ. And that's John 12, 31 and 32. So let's take these references up here. The judgment of sin. So go to the Gospel of John. And we see what Jesus says about judgment. John chapter 12, 31 and 32. John 12, 31 says this, "And now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." So he says the judgment of this world. It says the ruler of this world, who is Satan, the prince of the power of the air, is cast out. And Jesus made this statement himself. And he said, "And if I am lifted up from the earth," he said, "I will draw all men unto me." Verse 32. "And if I be lifted up from this earth," or the earth, "will draw all men unto me." So we see then that the message here of judgment is of this world. That's one of the judgments. This world is judged. Another one is the judgment that an individual believer pronounces by himself and on himself in honestly dealing with things in his own life. We judge ourselves. We see that this morning in the communion service. We are to judge ourselves. And so if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, and that's what we have there in the communion service. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, we would judge ourselves. I think that's understandable. We need to examine ourselves or judge ourselves. Okay, number three is the judgment of believers concerning other believers in sin. How do we do that? Okay, so I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're just talking a little bit about the judgments before we ever come to the great white throne judgment, as we're going to see here. The judgment of believers concerning other believers' sin. 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse 12. Okay. And he says here in verse number 12, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." Okay, he's talking about judging then other people in the sense that, hey, judge their lives and don't hang around them. Make an examination. God's going to judge them. We don't do that. But we need to make an examination of other people so that we don't get caught up in with them, okay? And so I think that's the judgment that's spoken of here. I'm going to go on down here. The judgment of Gentile nations after the tribulation. Okay, now we've been talking about this tribulation and then the judgment that takes place of Gentile nations. And that's Matthew chapter 25. You go back to Matthew chapter 25 and look at verse 32. Well, let's start at 31. That's the beginning of the paragraph. Matthew 25, 31. Okay? "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Now he's seated on the throne. Matthew 25, okay? "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Okay? So this we see as the judgment then of the Gentile nations on how they have treated the nation of Israel. How they've treated
the nation of Israel. Okay. Any questions up till now? Okay. Let me give you one more judgment here. The judgment of Israel nationally. The judgment of Israel nationally as the nation at the end of the tribulation period. Okay, now you have to go back to the Old Testament because that's speaking of the kingdom. Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. This is the judgment of Israel after the tribulation period, the national judgment. Okay, Ezekiel 20. Look at verse number 33. Ezekiel 20, 33, on down to verse number 38. Ezekiel writes, "And as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord." This is the purging out of the nation of Israel by God himself, nationally, the Jewish people. Okay, we talked about the judgment of the Antichrist in chapter 19. They were taken alive, God's judgment, and cast into the lake of fire bodily. Yes.
Is the lake of fire separate from hell?
Yes.
Is that a separate place?
Yes.
So Satan won't be in hell?
Satan will not be in hell. Some say that, well, Satan is the kingdom of hell. No, he's not. He's the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air. He never makes it to hell. Okay. And we see it here, okay? We see that. And then the final two judgments against Satan at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of the tribulation period, he's confined in the abyss. That's in a judgment for 1,000 years. And at the end of the millennium, he's cast into that everlasting fire, the lake of fire, there in Revelation 20, verse 10. Okay. Okay, now let me ask you one more question. When are evil angels judged? We see the beast and the false prophet. We see Satan himself being cast there in Revelation 20 into the lake of fire. But how about all the other evil angels? Verse 15 of Revelation 20. Take your Bible there, if you will. Go to Revelation 20. Again, says verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Eric, you have...
For some reason, I was thinking a lot of them were already there, locked up. For some reason.
Okay. He said for some reason he thought that they, some of them were already there. Okay. You remember the demoniac of Gadara who had the 3,000 demons, a legion, and they went into the swine. And before that, they said, have you come before the time to cast us into the abyss? And Jesus gave them leave to go into the swine. Of course, they ran down the hill and perished. Okay, so we see demon angels and false angels. I want you to go to the little bitty book of Jude. Jude. And look at verse number 6. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5, Jude 5. And so Jude writes here, and he says, and I will therefore put you in remembrance. Okay. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterwards, destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. He's reserved them in everlasting chains. Okay. Have you got that, Sally? Oh, okay. All right. I'm just until the judgment of the great day. Now, let me, as we go through this, how many of you remember the scripture that says, why do you go to the law one with another? Remember he told the church at Corinth, why are you suing one another? He says, isn't there anybody in your congregation that you can't put as judge over the matters that you have in the congregation? You're suing one another. And he says this statement. He says, know ye not that you shall judge angels? Know ye not that you shall judge angels? Okay. I believe that, speaking of what we see here in Jude chapter 6, the judgment of the great day, there's coming a day when we will be involved, I believe at least, in judging angels that have left their first estate.
And that's
when will that happen? I'll just throw that out there. I don't know, but my supposition is it happens after the great white throne judgment. But we're not necessarily told when. Okay? And then, of course, we have here in Revelation 20 then the final judgment of unbelievers. Okay. I don't believe the angels are here at the great white throne for this simple reason. I don't see anywhere in the scripture where God has written down all the things that the evil angels have done, whereas he has for unbelievers. Okay. I don't think we are involved in judging Satan. But I would sure love to. Wouldn't you? I think of all the evil and the sorrow and the suffering and the pain and anguish that has been caused by him throughout time. And he will be burning forever and ever, and which is righteous righteous judgment. Okay, so I want to kind of, okay, now we come here then to verse number 11. What time we got here? Okay, I got about 5 minutes, is that right? 10 minutes, whatever. We come here then to verse number 11, and then it says, and I saw. Okay, this is kind of a chronological sequence type thing. After this, John says, and I saw. And he says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, let me just give you a little bit of other biblical references. When it says, and there was found no place for them, he's not talking about there's no place for heaven and earth. He's talking about those individuals that are going to be standing. There's no place in heaven for them, and there's no place on earth for them. There's nowhere for them to go. They are without any place. They're going to be, there's nowhere they can hide. They will come to this great white throne judgment. Okay? We know that there's coming a time when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, which we will get to next chapter. But I don't believe that's what we're seeing here in chapter 20 when there says, and from whose face the heaven and earth fled away and there was no place for them. I believe this is really speaking of the individuals that are coming that stand before God, that there's no place for them. Okay. And I saw the dead, small and great. That's the important and the unimportant, okay? Great white throne standing there before it. Okay. We see that he sees one sitting on the throne. Let's go back to chapter 5. Get back here where I need to be. Excuse me, 4. I said 5, didn't I? Chapter 4, Revelation 4. Okay? John says in verse number 2, he says, and immediately I was in the Spirit and beheld a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he sat on, and he that sat on it was to look upon as a jasper. And we go through all of the sequence here of what he looked like and the rainbow surrounding the throne and everything. Is this the same throne as we see here in chapter number 20? And John says here, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it was from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Think this is the same throne?
Someone preached that one time because I've written down judgment seat of Christ, but I'm not sure if that was Lou or somebody else that it might have, I thought it was you.
Okay. I have no idea whether it was me or someone else. I fully believe that this is probably a different throne. This is a white throne. John would have, he saw that throne in chapter number 4 there, but he didn't even mention that it was a great white throne there. So I believe this is a throne of magnitude for judgment itself. Okay? When you go into the courtroom, this is the very courtroom of God.
Is this the throne
I don't believe so.
You don't?
I don't believe so.
Because it said in heaven, but you think it's a new one?
I think it's a different one. I think this is a throne of judgment. Throne of judgment. So when you come to the great white throne judgment of God, it speaks of purity. You know,
that's not four. Four is not the great white throne. So it's what you're saying, right?
In my mind, no, it is not.
Okay.
No, my Bible says the white throne is not set on the earth because the earth is gone. Neither is it set up in what is commonly called heaven because sinners are not allowed there.
He says the earth is gone.
Mm-hmm. And he quotes 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13.
Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3, 10. I have that reference here outside of my verse here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Absolutely. It's only for believers. The judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. The great white throne is only for unbelievers. That was 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, down through verse number 13. He's a brilliant man. I don't foresee that the earth being gone yet when I see this. We realize that this is not in heaven, and John sees this great white throne. Where it is, I can't really say. If that is the case, where are the Jewish people and the nation of Israel? I agree that one of these days we're all going to be one. But that will be in eternity. There will not be any Jew nor Gentile, according to Romans chapter 11. Okay. I won't argue with him, though. You're talking about a timeline that's supposition in my mind, okay? And I'd have to guess. I certainly believe 2 Peter 3. I believe it literally, okay? So I don't discredit him at all on that, okay? Notice here, John sees this great white throne, and the dead, small and great, stand before God, and they're judged according to their works. Okay. Now, in your lesson here, if you look at it, when you see this, the judgment appearing at the throne, Will they be judged for sin? Will they be judged for sin? Is there a difference between an individual's works and their life? Didn't Jesus Christ die for the sins of the whole world, right? The whole world. I think it's very important that we see that these individuals stand before God, and the books were opened, and we see there in verse number 13, and every man was judged, and they were judged, every man, according to their works, not...
Well, there's two different kinds of works. Our works, without believing in Christ, but those who believe in Christ, their works is for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think they're being judged for their works outside of Christ.
Yeah. For example, okay, how many of you know of some great, great people that aren't believers? I mean, they're not murderers. They're not drunkards. They're not individuals that you would say. I mean, they're just great people. They're just great people. They've lived great lives. They've raised their families right. They have good kids. They have good relationship, but...
Well, that's the answer a lot of them give you when you try to lead them to Christ. Well, I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't murder. I don't rob banks. I don't, but that's not the standard.
No, that's not the standard. But will it be the standard here? Eric. Okay. All they've done is waiting on the sentence to be committed. Okay? They've already been judged according to their sin. They've gone to hell. And death and hell were delivered up, and all they're standing before God. Now, let me ask you one last question, and we'll close for this evening. Philippians 2 says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When do you think that will take place? Notice that we do not see that here at the great white throne. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying it's not mentioned as being there, that every one of these individuals, as we see here, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But there will come a day when they will all have to acknowledge and confess, and certainly there will come a day there are zero unbelievers. Bill, you started to ask a question.
Not what it was.
Okay.
We've all done that. My mind is just
okay. Read your lesson there. Honestly, I didn't get right. I didn't go down through your lesson there, but read that lesson and write down the questions that you have. Because I know there's a lot of questions that come along with the last judgment here as we see it. Okay?